Russia is on the verge of a default on its foreign debt, something that hasn't happened in more than a century since the Russian Revolution. Wide-ranging sanctions and trade restrictions have isolated Russia, but a default would make it even more of a pariah, and it could have lasting effects on the country's economy. For more on this, we're joined now by NPR's David Gura. Hey, David.
Hey, Elsa.
So can you just explain for us, like, how did Russia get to this point where it's on the edge of default?
Well, a lot has happened over the last week. Russia faced a deadline to make interest payments to foreign investors on two bonds to the tune of almost $650 million. Now, those payments had to be made in dollars, but Russia said that because of restrictions the U.S. and its allies have put in place, doing that, paying in U.S. currency would be impossible. So Russia used rubles, and that is not allowed. These bonds are denominated in dollars, and the contracts require Russia to make these payments in dollars. Shortly after this happened, the ratings agency S&P Global said Russia is in what's called a selective default. This is often a preliminary step before a full default. Russia has a little breathing room here, a 30-day grace period, but the clock is already ticking on that. And if the country doesn't make these payments in dollars by early May, Elsa, Russia will effectively default.
And what would be the effects of that if Russia defaults?
You know, a default would isolate Russia even more from the global economy at a time when it's facing widening sanctions and dwindling reserves. Access to capital markets is crucial to countries that need to borrow to pay for all kinds of projects and programs. And while Russia's debt load is fairly small relative to the size of its economy, a default would compound a situation that's gotten worse and worse. So much of Russia's foreign exchange reserves come from selling energy. And now the European Union is considering a ban on energy exports from Russia. A default is also something that would be historically significant and fraught with symbolism. Tim Samples is a professor at the University of Georgia who specializes in foreign investment.
This is a reflection of just how far and how fast Russia has fallen from favor in Western capital markets.
Now, countries have defaulted, and eventually they've been welcomed back to the debt markets, but memories of a default tend to linger, and in the future, Russia may have to pay more to borrow.
And I mean, David, can Russia even make these payments that it owes?
This is a good question and a tricky question. I mean, the U.S. is making it as difficult as possible. The U.S. and its allies have frozen most of Russia's foreign currency reserves. They've placed restrictions on financial institutions. Odette Linau is a sovereign debt expert at Cornell Law School.
There's been a shift in the policy, and so there is a lack of a technical capacity to actually make these payments.
But it's not impossible. I mean, Russia does have dollars elsewhere. It could get more dollars selling energy. And although many banks are barred from doing business with Russia, there are non-sanctioned banks with which it could work.
Well, what about foreign investors? Like, are they going to be losing money?
Yeah, when we say foreign investors, we're talking about hedge funds and emerging markets funds run by asset managers like Invesco and PIMCO, along with some individual investors. Sovereign debt experts told me that if investors didn't sell these bonds in the early days of the war, there's not much more they can do than wait. But right now, all signs point to a default. And if that happens, what we can expect is a significant, protracted legal battle over these payments. A strange wrinkle here is that Russia's finance minister says Russia is also prepared to sue over how this has played out. This is likely to take a while. Just keep in mind that after Argentina defaulted, negotiations went on for more than a decade.
That is NPR's David Gura. Thank you, David.
Thank you.